Tonight, if you brought your Bibles, we're going to go ahead and start in Luke chapter 22, verses number 47 and 48. And if you're taking notes tonight, the title of the message is True Love's Kiss. Really, Pastor Joe? True Love's Kiss? Of course, as you can tell, Valentine's is coming up in 4 days. And because we don't have shift on a Tuesday, we are celebrating it tonight. Obviously, better before Valentine's, because if we did it next week, it'd be kind of weird, right? Valentine's is already over, but we're... Anyway, so that's what we're doing before. But we're going to be talking about love tonight, and that's why I've entitled the message tonight, True Love's Kiss. And we're going to pick up here Luke chapter... Let me actually get there myself. Luke chapter 22, verses number 47 and 48. Kind of a different place to start. But I believe God has something good for us. So the Bible says here, it says, and while Jesus was still speaking, it says, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. Verse number 48, but Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Now, I just want to start off tonight by, first of all, saying to everybody, aren't you glad? I just want to ask everybody this question, rhetorical question. Aren't you glad tonight that Jesus knows exactly how you feel when a relationship goes bad? When a relationship goes sour, here you are, and you've invested all of your life, you've invested your love, you've invested your time, your energy, you've invested what you thought you needed to invest into the relationship that you had in order for it to be a success, and then after all is said and done, the relationship ends up going bad. The relationship ends up falling apart. You end up at odd ends with that other person. And so tonight, aren't you glad that Jesus knows how you feel when something like that happens? The good news tonight is that if Jesus knows how you feel when something like that happens, then Jesus knows exactly how to fix you. Jesus knows exactly how to heal the broken heart. Listen, I want you guys to know today that Jesus heals the broken heart. Tonight, Jesus is the healer of the broken heart. And because he knows how you feel, he's been there, he's done that, God knows how to fix you tonight. As we look at this verse, we notice here that, hey, Jesus, he's come along and he's invested all of his time. He's invested his energy. He's invested his love. He's invested in Judas. God had a wonderful plan for Judas's life. God had a plan for him to follow in his footsteps. God had a plan for him to do great and mighty things. And after it's all said and done, here comes Judas to betray Jesus. This relationship falls apart. Now tonight, I want to say this. We're not talking about a dating relationship. All right. No, we're talking about love. All right. I'm not going to exclude a dating relationship. But how many realize tonight that we are in all kinds of relationships all over the place in our lives, whether that's a relationship with your parents, a relationship with a sibling, anybody here ever had a relationship go bad with a sibling? Okay, anyways, a relationship with a sibling, a relationship with a coworker, a boss to an employee to boss, a close friend, wherever it might be, all of us have relationships, and all of us in here today have faced a relationship that has gone bad, faced a relationship that has gone sour, that has fallen apart after, even after we've had an expectation, we've had a hope, we've had a desire of where we would have liked to see that relationship go, and yet after it's all said and done, man, it falls apart. But Jesus knows just how you feel, and because he knows just how you feel, Jesus knows just how to fix you. Can I get another amen tonight? I will say this too before we move on. Jesus knows how to fix you. What I mean by that is, I'm not going to specifically address the other party in the relationship in your life that may have ended up tonight in the wrong place, all right? Because ultimately, here's the bottom line, they have a free will. The other person that may have come to your mind since we've been talking, ultimately they have a free will, and they of their own free will have to make a decision to submit to God and follow him in order for the relationship to be reconciled. So today I'm not promising that God is going to fix that relationship, but I am promising to you today that God, what God's promise is, and that is that he will fix you, he will heal the broken heart, he will bind up the wounds, he will cause the scars to heal, he will do what he needs to do to get you on your way, to get you to forgive, to get you to forget, and get you to where you need to be. Make sure everything turns out in your life the way that he planned for it to go. God is not a God who is not touched, but he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, knows just where we're at, and knows just how to fix us tonight. And so, again, we see here, Jesus comes along, and he sowed all of his life, all of his love, his plans into Judas. And here Judas comes along. And man, it was bad enough for him to betray Jesus. And then here he comes along and he adds insult to injury by betraying Jesus with a kiss. I mean, can't you just walk away, let it be done, betray him, whatever. Whatever you're going to do, just go do it. But now you're going to come along and you're going to add insult to injury, stab me in the back. We've all been there tonight. We've all been there tonight. Let's be honest today. When I look at the life of Judas, when I look at the life of Judas and what he did here, we see Judas come along, and you know what? Judas outwardly is kissing Jesus. Inwardly, he's got a heart that has betrayal. And you know what? It reminds me of the world. As I look out at the world, really, the world doesn't know what true love is. The world's got all kinds of definitions. The world's got all kinds of ideas. The world's got all kinds of different kinds of expressions, opinions, experiences by which they define love. And they say, this is how you should love somebody, and this is how they should love you. You've heard the term, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. You stab my back, you better watch your back. All right? That's how the world loves. Everybody here is familiar with the saying. Can we be honest in the house of God tonight? Everybody here is familiar with the saying, let's make love. Come on, baby, let's make some love. I've been really trying, baby, trying to hold back this ugly feeling for so long. And if you feel like I feel, baby, then come on. How do I know that song? Because I don't want to tell you how I know that song. No, no, in high school, there's this one guy, and that was his favorite song to sing. And I kid you not, for an entire year in language class, every time he would sing that song over and over. That was like his line for everything. I've been really trying. Anyways. So one of the ideas of the world is that, you know what? Sex is love. Sex is love. And you know what, guys? It's not. It's not. The world's got all kinds of different opinions. The world's got all kinds of different ideas, all kinds of different experiences by which they define love. And you know what? It's not true. And sadly, you know what else I find? Sometimes too much and too often we find that Christians today don't know what love is either. But you know what? God wants you to know what love is. He wants you to know when you've been really kissed by love. And he wants you to know how to kiss with love, if I could say it like that. It's not with your lips. We'll find out what it is in just a minute. Now, with all the opinions, with all the ideas, ideologies, experiences, all the songs, all the movies, all the stuff that's out there, for some people, you know, love is a feeling. For other people, love is a first kiss. For some people, you say, you know, what is love? And they'll say, well, it's when I say to somebody else, I love you, or they say, I love you back. For other people, you mentioned the word love, and the first thing that comes to their mind is romance, Valentine's Day, their favorite romantic movie, Notebook, or, I don't know, Serendipity, Say Anything. I don't know, whatever it is for them. How to Lose a Guy Today's. And so there's a bunch of different ideas out there, but aren't you glad today that you know what you can know what the truth is about love by looking at God tonight? God is the one who defines love. In fact, one of my favorite verses is in First John, and the Bible says, and this is a familiar verse for everybody, I believe, but the Bible says that God is love. God is love. Now I want you to notice what the Bible didn't say. It didn't say that God has it. The Bible didn't say God has love better than anybody else has love. No, the Bible says that God is love. He is the very definition of love. If there's anybody who knows what the truth is about love, it is Jesus Christ. And today, you know what? We can look at God and find out what love is. Now, how many of you out there, you can raise your hand and say, man, I want to know what true love is all about. I want to know how it behaves. I want to know what it looks like. You know, listen, here's the bottom line, guys. It's just like we're saying tonight, you're going to need to base your life on this subject called love. I don't know about you, but I want to be able to base my life on the truth about love so that I can be everything that God's called me to be, because otherwise, I'm not going to end up where God would have me to end up. You know, as we were singing that last song today, I was reminded how desperate we are for the love of God. How really desperate a human being, how needy a human being really is for the love of God. You know, let's just be honest. You know, a lot of us, we get busy going to school, get busy with our career, taking care of our family, doing our errands, doing whatever we need to do. And for most of us in here, you know, I look at you guys, I don't see anybody too jacked up. All right, for the most part, we've got our life in a place, maybe everything's not perfect, we've got our life in a place where, you know what, you'd say, my life is going pretty good. My life is going, and so we approach church not with the attitude of wanting to disrespect God, but we're not desperate for him. We're not in a place where, man, God, just like I'm after that TV program every Sunday night, God, just like I'm after that video game, God, just like I'm after my career, just like I'm after that beautiful woman, God, I'm gonna be here tonight and I'm gonna be after you. We should be a desperate people for the love of God. Anyways, I got a little bit off point, but you know what? God is love, and we're gonna have to find out how God defines love. So this is the question I want to answer tonight: how does love behave itself? And love at its peak, love at its best, what does that look like? We've only got one point today. One point today. Love's behavior and peak are expressed when someone lays down their life for another. Let me read that again. Love's behavior, what does love look like? If there's all these opinions out there, all these ideas, we see Judas come up and he kisses Jesus, but on the inside he's got betrayal, then what does true love look like? How does it behave? What does it look like when it's at its peak, when it's at its best? Is it expressed when, in Pride and Prejudice? No. Love's behavior and peak are expressed when someone lays down their life for another. When someone lays down their life for the people around them. John chapter 15, if you brought your Bibles. John chapter 15, this is a familiar verse for all of us. John chapter 15. Verse number 13. John chapter 15, verse number 13. Jesus comes along here and he says this. He says, greater love has no one than this. Nobody has any greater love. You can't look out anywhere else, and not in a movie, not in music, not in a story, and find greater love. This is love at its best. This is how love behaves itself. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Than to lay down one's life for his friends. Now you might be sitting there today and say, you know what, Pastor Joe, but technically, I mean, if you're really looking at it, that's really Jesus talking about laying down his life for his friends, because, you know, he was going to the cross, he was going to lay down his life for the disciples and for all of us. He's really talking about what he's going to do. All right, so look at the verse just before it, verse number 12. This is what Jesus says to us today. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you. Jesus went and he laid down his life for you and I. And God is asking you and I to in turn love the same way he does. Now, does that mean that we need to walk outside and crucify ourselves on a cross? No. No, that's not what he's talking about is, hey, laying down your life for those around you. Hey, listen, you want to kiss somebody with true love? Lay down your life for them. Husbands, you really want to love your wives? Lay down your life for her. Wives, you really want to love your husbands? Lay down your life for him. Parents, you really want to love your children? Lay down your lives for them. Children, you really want to love your parents? Lay down your lives. Lay down your lives. Best friends, you want to love your friend? You want to love those around you? Lay down your life for them. What does it mean to lay down your life? It means that, you know what, I'm going to have to forego my personal desires. I'm going to have to forego my personal opinions. I'm going to have to put down and put aside my ambitions, my pursuits for the betterment of somebody else. I'm going to have to put these, put whatever I got going on, whatever my experiences have been, whatever I think is should be the way to go, I'm going to have to put that aside in order to meet the need of somebody else. This is what it means to love. This is how love behaves. Love lays down its life for the people around it. Now listen, Pastor Joe is just as guilty as anybody of not laying down my life when I should. Just the other day, my wife and I got into an argument about who was going to change Judah's diaper. You don't understand, babe. I worked 40 long hours at work. You stayed home. I already watched him for 2 hours. I fed him his bottle. I put him to sleep. And now you're demanding that I change his diaper? I don't think so. That's not how it works in my book. But if I really love my wife, I've got to lay down what I think should happen. And I've got to lay down my life for her. I've got to lay down my life for my son. I'm picking on myself today. I've got to turn off my video games after the proper amount of time.
Oh, Jesus.
Maybe for you it's not video games. Maybe for you it's your hobbies. It's your hobbies. And your hobbies, you know what? Your hobbies keep you from meeting the needs of those around you. And now I'm kind of picking on husbands and wives right now. We'll get to the single people in just a moment. But husbands and wives, you've got to lay down. Can I talk to the wives real quick? I know that you were raised a certain way. And I know that you've had certain experiences in your life. But you know what? You're going to have to set those aside in order to love your husband the right way. You're going to have to set those aside in order to respect your husbands, as the Bible says. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It says, you and likewise, you wives, see that you're respectful to your husbands. See, I know that you grew up and with your sister, you know, she threw something at you, you threw something at her, and you screaming back and forth that, I don't think so, and bleep, 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 you too, and that's not how to get a man's attention to do what you want him to do. You have to lay down your life. For we have to lay down our lives for one another. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 3. I like this verse very much. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 3. If you brought your Bibles. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, watch what it says, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each esteem others better than himself. What is that if not laying down your life? Hey, listen, if you're going to esteem the person next to you better than yourself, whether it be husband, wife, children, whatever it is, mom, dad, friends, coworkers, amen, thank you, Jesus, coworkers. If you're gonna esteem them better than yourself, you're gonna have to lay some stuff down. You're gonna have to lay down some pride. You're gonna have to lay down some ambitions. When's the last time that you got all your work done and you were ready to go right when 5 o'clock came and you saw your coworker struggling to get he was gonna be probably a half an hour over? When's the last time you said, I'm gonna lay down, going home at 5, and I'm gonna help you because I love you, man. What's your problem? No, we're talking about if you're going to love, if you're going to really give love and have love given back to you, you and I are going to have to learn how to lay down our lives. Now, what I wanted to exhort the single people with before we close, you know what, guys, let's just be honest, probably 98 to 100% of you are interested in finding that special someone. Amen, Pastor Joe. You preaching real good. Go ahead and preach, preacher. Thank you very much. I believe I will. Okay, so maybe say, all right, Pastor Joe, the honest truth is I'm too busy in school right now. I got a job. I got too much going on in my life. I'm not really, but okay. So the 98 to 100% of you, if you're not interested in finding that special person right now, you will be in the very near future, right? Listen, if you want to find somebody, in order to find somebody who really loves you, you need to find somebody who practices, before you say I do, laying down their life for you. Probably more so to the ladies. Ladies, you need to understand that man you dating, that man you call your boyfriend, your boo, he better be laying down his life for you before you say I do. Hey, listen, in your search to find that special someone, you need to find somebody that you are, before God, willing to lay down your life for till death do you part. Hello? This is how love behaves itself. Love lays down its life, its time, its energy, its money, its time again, its energy, its some more money, its time, its... And it keeps on laying down its opinions, laying down its desires, laying down its ambitions, laying down its experiences, its hobbies, laying it down. We're talking about laying it down for the other person. This is what love is. Hey, listen, you single people looking for that special someone, you need to find somebody who's laying down their life because they're in love with God. They're laying down their life to get more of God. They're putting the hobbies aside. You know what? You know, ladies, you found yourself a man. He likes to go dirt bike riding on Sundays when he should be in church. You need to dump him. We're talking about laying down our... This is how love behaves. When love really loves and expresses itself, when it's at its best, when it's at its peak, love lays itself down. And if you really love God, you know what? That's why Jesus comes along and he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You're going to have to lay down your way and go my way. If you love me, take up your cross and follow me. This is what it means to love. You need to find somebody who lays down their life for God and for you. Now, I will finish with this to the single people. What we said already earlier, sex is not love. And if any man or woman comes to you and says, if you love me, then you'll sleep with me, they crazy. Can we talk in church? They horny. They got a problem. You guys laugh, and you know, as awkward as it is for me to say that, we've got television and music and all kind of movies and trash telling you much worse and shaping young people's ideas and desires and telling them, hey, this is the way to go. And it's not. It's not the way to go. Hey, listen, if you want to curse yourself, go ahead and get involved in sexual things before you get married. Okay, so Pastor Joe, I haven't technically had sex. I've messed around. Yeah, you're cursing yourself. Just because we had a president one day stand up and say, well, technically I didn't have sex with her, doesn't mean that it's not sex. It is sex, and you need not to do it before you get married. A person who loves you will say, regardless of what desire is coming up in my flesh right now, I'm going to lay it down because I love God and because I love you. So young people, this is what it means to love. And of course, I already picked on the married people enough today. You know what, guys? If you're gonna have homes that are healthy because of love, how many out there would raise your hand and say, you know what, Pastor Joe, I believe that in order to have a healthy home, love needs to play a big role and a big part in my home. Hey, listen, then you're going to have to learn to lay it down. This is what it means to kiss somebody with love and to be kissed with love. If you got something good from God's word today...